Blog Talk Radio.
To our lesson summary review for today, we're continuing with our lesson review of the course Spiritual Gifts, which is one of our Bachelor's in Practical Ministry program courses, and we're on session number 10 this week, which is dealing with gifts of healing, working of miracles, and prophecy. So I pray that you have your study guide and your note-taking material as you prepare to study this week's lesson with us, and we pray that you've been blessed thus far as you went through. Now, this session should help the students to understand the function and purpose of three spiritual gifts: the gifts of healing, the working of miracle, and prophecy. The session intended to help you discover how the Holy Spirit manifests himself through these gifts to build up the church. And so we're going to go through the major highlights of the lesson, the major headings, just to review and to bring some things a little more clarity for you. And as we always do, we want to pray that we will all expect spiritual gifts to operate amongst us even today. And we're going to also pray and ask the Lord for special help as we study and as we teach this lesson. So let us go ahead and seek the face of God even now. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for the gift of abundant life and eternal life. We thank you for the gift of Jesus and for the sacrifice that he made on Calvary to redeem us, to pay the penalty for our sin, and his resurrection to give us victory over death. So, Lord, may your Holy Spirit teach us today to understand how your spiritual gifts operate in our lives. Help us to expect and experience gifts of healing, the working of miracles and prophecy in our life today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Hallelujah and amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review for today. We're on session 10 of the course Spiritual Gifts. This session is dealing with gifts of healing, working of miracles, and prophecy. Now, as we begin to review this lesson, we're going to give you some scripture texts that deal with what the lesson referred to as truths. And these are some of the things that you learned as you studied this lesson. And I will give you some scripture verses, and then we will briefly talk about what the scripture verses mean. So first, let me read out the references, and then you can look them up or make note of them on a blank sheet of paper. Look them up in your scriptures following the broadcast as well. Now, The major headings for this week's review is going to deal with, as we talked about, the gifts of healing. We're going to talk about how it is defined, explained, and illustrated. And we're also going to do the same with the working of miracles as well as prophecy. Three lessons of our course are on the nine gifts of the Spirit that are listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. In this last lesson, we studied the first three gifts, the word of wisdom, we studied the word of knowledge, and faith in our last session. We saw that all of these gifts are manifestations of God's power, and we also learned that all of these gifts are supernatural. None of them are possible to obtain by human means alone. I also want to make note that another thing we learned was that all of the gifts of the Spirit have a common purpose. They are all to build up the body of Christ. So as we look at this week's lesson, we will study three more gifts of the Spirit. We are learning about them in the order that they are listed in the Bible. Now, some scholars place them in different order. However, since all of them come from the Holy Spirit, the order in which they are studied is not important. We will note that the options of these gifts overlap at times. Sometimes, in fact, several gifts seem to appear at once. And as you went through these studies, students, you may have already sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to you in regard to the operation of these gifts in your life, you will want to be obedient to His voice, and prayer will help you. So whenever you sense the Holy Spirit moving upon you, just yield to Him. It may not be easy at first, but as you desire to be used of God, you can be a blessing to His body, the church. So make note of the three headings that we're going to be talking about in this week's lesson. Now here are some of the things in the study guide that talked about truths. The first one is contained in Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, where it says, Christ gave His 12 disciples the authority to heal the sick and to drive out evil spirits. You can also make note of Luke chapter 10 verse 9, which says, when He sent out the 70, Christ told them, heal the sick. Mark chapter 16 verse 18, Jesus said, when His disciples placed their hands on sick people, they would be healed or get well. Also make note of James chapter 5 verse 14. When the elders anoint the sick with oil and pray in faith in the name of the Lord, the sick will recover. You also see in James chapter 5 verse 16. Healing may come as a result of restored relationships when believers forgive one another and pray for one another. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 20. Even good people get sick and may not be healed immediately. Mark 16:20. Miraculous signs followed the preaching of the word and confirmed it. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, believers receive power and boldness to act with authority when they are filled with the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 7. A gift is not something of which we can boast. Galatians chapter 3 verse 5. The working of miracles depends on faith. Let's also make note of Acts chapter 6 verse 8, where Stephen did great wonders and miracles. Acts chapter 8 verse 6. The people listened and saw the miracles Philip performed. Acts chapter 14 verse 3. Signs and wonders were done by Paul and Barnabas. We have four more for you. Acts chapter 11 verse 27 to 28, where Agabus did a famine and it came to pass. Acts chapter 13 verse 2. The Holy Spirit separated Barnabas and Saul from their fellow ministers for missionary service. And then finally two more in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verses 31 to 33. Prophesyings should be given one by one in an orderly manner. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 32. Those who speak prophecy should restrain themselves and not speak until or unless the Spirit prompts them to do so. So there we see some truths that were listed in our lesson, and we gave you the scripture for you to look at those and meditate upon those following this lesson review. Now let's go ahead and turn our attention to the three major headings of our lesson this week. And I always like to remind you students to make sure that you look up the definition of the keywords at the end of your study guide to get a better understanding of how the words are used in context with this lesson. Now our first major heading is gifts of healing. This first objective wants us to explain the function and purpose of the gifts of healing, and also state how we may know if we have been used by the Holy Spirit to manifest a gift of healing. So let's begin by defining the gifts of healing, how it is defined in Scripture. Make note of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9, where Paul says, to another person he gives the power to heal. The King James Version says, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. So healing means making whole or well. Gift means grace, favor or kindness. So it is important to think about the word gifts. Gifts is plural, meaning more than one. In this case, gifts mean more than one gift of healing. We will learn more about this as we go through the lesson. So we realize, as we have with all other spiritual gifts, that gifts of healing then are manifestations of God's grace, His favor, and His kindness. So that is how the gift of healing is defined in our lesson. Let's talk about how it is explained and illustrated. Now, we know sickness, disease, infirmity, these are all common to man. Even believers experience or may have them. And they are the results of man's fall into sin. Now, this does not mean that a person is sick because he has sinned. Jesus' disciples asked, "Teacher, whose sin caused this man to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents?" And Jesus answered them, "His blindness has nothing to do with his sin or his parents' sins." You can see an example of that in John chapter 9, verse 3. So sometimes sickness, people are sick because they have sinned. Jesus once said, "Listen, you are well now, so stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." You see that in John chapter 5, verse 14. But whatever the cause of sickness, disease, or infirmity, God desires that we should be healed. However, sometimes the Holy Spirit will not give the healing to some people who seem to need healing, and there are maybe several reasons for this that our lesson talked about. One of the reasons that our lesson mentioned was unbelief. You can see in Mark chapter 9, verse 24, where it is said, "Everything is possible for the person who has faith." The father at once cried out, "I do have faith, but not enough. Help me have more." A second reason why sometimes healing may not happen is a failure to relate properly to the body. See an example in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 29 through 30. Where Paul says, "Not discerning the Lord's body, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," which is, are dead. So not discerning the Lord's body means not recognizing other members of the Lord's body as part of his body. And then, thirdly, there are some special reasons. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10 to see what some of the special reasons may be. So as we look at the session number 10, the gifts of healing, working the miracles, and prophecy, we see that so far we talked about the gifts of healing, how it is defined, how it is explained and illustrated. Now, one of the things that this section talked about is who may the Holy Spirit use to bring a gift of healing. So we know that God can use any person that he so chooses. So all the gifts are distributed as the Holy Spirit saw fit. We also know, may have the question that is, what types of sickness, disease, or infirmities may be healed? We can see an example in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. It says, "Jesus healed people with every kind of disease and sickness." So there are no sickness, disease, or infirmity that cannot be healed through the gift of healing. People may ask, how do gifts of healing work? Well, we must learn there is no set pattern. There is seen, as we examine the main cases of healing in the New Testament, their healing was by some of these eight ways we see listed in the New Testament. Some healing came by a touch or a spoken word in Matthew 8, verse 3. We see again a spoken word was used in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 13. And note, the person who was healed was not present to hear the word spoken. Again, a touch was used in Matthew 8, 15. Another example, a touch and a spoken word was used in Matthew 9, 29. A fifth example is a command was given in Matthew chapter 12, verse 13. Sixth example, placing mud on blind eyes and a spoken word in John chapter 9, verse 6. A seventh example, a command and a lift with the hand in Acts chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. And the eighth example we see in the New Testament is a spoken word and a command given in Acts chapter 9, verse 34. So we see some examples of how gifts of healing work, some by a touch, some by a spoken word, some by a command, some by placing elements on people's bodies. In the case of the blind man, Jesus placed spit and mud on his eyes, or a command, or to assist with lifting with hand. So we note the most common method of healing happened by the spoken word. It is important to remember this. A touch with the hand, a lift, or some other act may help another's faith. However, it seems God works most through a spoken word. The early church leaders did their works by a spoken word. It seems reasonable that God will still direct the gifts of healing to people in the same way today. So let's answer one more question before we move to the purpose of the gift of healing. How does a believer know when he or she has a gift of healing to share? Again, as with other gifts of the Spirit, we believe the person who is to manifest the gift would sense it deeply within their own spirit. Look at Samson's experience in the Old Testament. It illustrates this. It says, "Suddenly the power of the Lord made him strong, and he broke the ropes around his arms and hands as if they were burnt thread." And you see an example of that in Judges chapter 15, verse 14. So Samson was not used by the Spirit to heal. He was used, however, to do mighty deeds. From his experience, we can get some idea of what our experience will be as the same Spirit seeks to manifest himself through us. So no believer has the gifts of healing at his own command. He has them only as the Spirit wills. Some may experience the operation of the gifts more than others, but this is because they have learned to move by faith under the Holy Spirit's direction. And this is a great secret that we all need to tap into. So far we've looked at the definition, how gifts of healing is defined, and some of the ways that it is plainly and illustrated in Scripture. Now, let's talk about the purpose of the gift of healing. Now, as with the other gifts that we've studied thus far, the overall purpose for all the spiritual gifts, as we have seen, is the building up of Christ's body. Some gifts do this in one way, some in another. The gifts of healing do it by enabling the members to be healthy and well physically. The whole body of believers is helped as individual members prosper physically. So we see there the purpose of the gift of healing. Now let's take a look at our second major heading in this lesson, which is the working of miracles. This objective asks us to give the function and purpose of working of miracles. And also we want to locate in the book of Acts and explain how we know it was a miracle. See some examples in the book of Acts. So let's begin with the working of miracles as we did with the gifts of healing. Let's define it. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, Paul writes, "The Spirit gives one person the power to work miracles." The King James Version says, "To another, the working of miracles." The Greek word for miracles is dunamis. From that word comes the English word dynamite. And dynamite is an explosive. It has great power. It is used for moving large rocks, for destroying old buildings, and for many other purposes. The word is used in the phrase working of miracles as meaning supernatural power to do things which are otherwise impossible. That is how working of miracles is defined as we look at our lesson this week. Let's see how the working of miracles was explained and illustrated. Let's take a look at some of the accounts of some miracles in the Bibles that can be used to help increase our understanding. Here's some Old Testament examples. Now, many other miracles described in the Old Testament are these. Moses, number one, you can write these down if you like. Moses brought water out of a rock, you'll see in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. Israel crossed the Jordan on dry land, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Joshua made the sun stand still in Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Fourth example, Elijah prayed down fire from heaven in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 37 to 38. A fifth example of Old Testament miracles is Elijah made an axe head float in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now let's take a look at some of the miracles in the life of Jesus. We see, number one, Jesus turned water into wine in John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. We see, secondly, Jesus calmed the storm to sea, the wind and the waves, in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23-26. Third example, Jesus and Peter walked upon the water in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22-31. Number four, Jesus fed many people with a boy's lunch in John chapter 6, verse 5-14. And then a fifth example of miracles in the life of Jesus is Jesus raised a man from the dead in John chapter 11, verses 1-44. So far we see the miracles explained, illustrated from Old Testament examples from the life of Jesus. Now let's look at some miracles in the life of the early church. Now, miracles in the Old Testament might be explained by the fact that great prophets performed most of them. Jesus' miracles might be explained by the fact that he was the Son of God. Acts must be explained some other way. Most of those in Acts were done through very common people, fishermen, tax collectors, and the like. So, how do they do miracles? So, before we answer that question, let's look at several miracles which are described in the book of Acts. We can see, number one, a miraculous escape from prison in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 to 20. We see the dead were raised in Acts chapter 9, verse 36 to 41. We also see there was a miraculous escape from prison listed in Acts chapter 12, verse 5 to 17. Number four, an enemy of God was blinded in Acts chapter 13, verse 6 to 11. And a fifth example of miracles in the early church was no deadly poison from a snake bite was listed in Acts chapter 28, verse 1 through 6. So there's one secret to all these miracles being fulfilled. It is not using great men. It is not men with unusual powers of their own. It is not even the ability which men get in school. It is simply the power of the Holy Spirit. The dynamite of the Spirit is manifested to meet a great need in behalf of Christ's body. And often, students, it was to move some obstacle and continue spreading the gospel. So we see how the working of miracles was defined in some of the examples of how it was illustrated and explained in Scripture. Now let's take a look at the purpose for the working of miracles. So why have miracles? Some say because they would like to see a miracle. They want to see it because they enjoy the unusual. Others want miracles for other very selfish reasons. At one time, Jesus was not received by people in a certain village. The disciples were angry. They asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" In Luke chapter 9, verse 54. Listen to Jesus' answer. "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You see example of that in Luke chapter 9, verse 55 through 56. In other words, Jesus said no miracles will be done for selfish purposes. So we know that God is omnipotent. That means he is all-powerful, and he can work miracles in order to edify or build up the church. So miracles, like all other gifts of the Spirit, have one leading purpose, and that is to build up Christ's body. And one of the ways working on miracles does this is by removing obstacles which hinder the gospel. And when believers need miracles for this reason, they will see more miracles. So this is our first two of the three spiritual gifts we're studying in this lesson. We looked at the gifts of healing, and we looked at the working of miracles. The third one we're going to look at is prophecy. This adjective asks us to state the function and purpose of prophecy. Here again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, it says, the gift of speaking God's message, or the King James Version says, to another prophecy. Now, according to one Bible scholar, prophecy means prediction. That's foretelling. Another Bible scholar says it means public exposition. That is preaching or forthtelling. We will understand the best what prophecy means if we understand how it is both foretelling and forthtelling in order to edify the body of Christ. So prophecy should not be thought of to be the same as an ordinary preaching. Like the other gifts of the Spirit, it is supernatural. So let's look at some examples of how it is explained and illustrated in Scripture. In a previous lesson, in Lesson 3, we studied the gifts of ministry, and we learned that one of the gifts was prophets, where it says he gave some to be prophets. And Christ, the head of the church, named as the giver of these gifts. But we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 through 10, it says, for one is given by the Spirit prophecy, not prophets. So what is the difference between prophets and prophecy? The gift of prophets is the gift of full-time leadership to the body. The gift of prophecy is the gift of inspired utterance. The gift of prophets is for a rather small number of the body's members. The gift of prophecy can be experienced by all of the members. 1 Corinthians 14, 13, 31 says, ye may all prophesy one by one. So the difference between the office of the prophet and the gift of prophecy is this. All who have the office of the prophet will prophesy, but all who prophesy do not have the office of a prophet. I pray that you understand that. So we see there some of the ways that it is explained and illustrated in Scripture. Again, you can look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 11, where Paul says, set your hearts on spiritual gifts, especially the gift of proclaiming God's message, which is an inspired message. The King James Version says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather most of all, that you may prophesy, that is, you may speak an inspired message that has come to you as a gift from God to edify the body of Christ. So, again, we arrive to the purpose of the gift of prophecy, as we did for the gifts of healing, as well as the working of miracles. We see the purpose, one, is forthtelling. Forthtelling. The great value of forthtelling was made clear on the day of Pentecost. We see where the Holy Spirit was poured out, and almost at once the gift of prophecy was manifested in Peter's sermon. This was no ordinary sermon. A day earlier, Peter could not have preached it. At the heart of his sermon was the mighty power and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Peter spoke ideas that were not his own. They came from the Holy Spirit. And then we see foretelling. To foretell means to tell something before it happens. We have already learned that God knows everything. This means he knows the past, the present, and the future. Man does not, by his own power, know the future. Only through the Holy Spirit can we know something of the future. Through the gift of prophecy, the Holy Spirit can cause a believer to speak forth something about the future. So we see, as we studied Session 10 of the Spiritual Gifts, we looked at gifts of healing, working of miracles, and prophecy. So, saints, I pray today we'll be able to get a better understanding of what this lesson was about. Look at the examples in your study guide of the instructions for use of gifts of prophecy and the purposes for the gifts. And may we all live with the expectation that the same Spirit who worked through the examples illustrated in Scripture is the same Spirit that works and decides today how to bestow these same gifts in the lives of the church. So I pray today that you will continue to grow and develop as we go through these lessons, and we look forward to continuing with you again next week. In the meantime, God bless you, and good day.